There are MILFs, there are DILFs, but this week we are tackling the important topic of the HILF. House I would like to fuck. Is your wife a house? Does he fuck the house? I think that we are going to have to get into it. But hi, hey, welcome to The Swamp. It's our podcast. It's an acronym.
Stands for some whack-ass movie podcasting.
And to quote the inventor of homosexuality, Jojo Siwa, dream guest on my podcast, probably pop culture vultures. We're so excited this week to have guests finally. It's been like a hot minute since we invited anyone on to our show, and we are delighted, overwhelmed, overcome with a great sense of joy and welcomement. I don't know, but we have Julia and Tony from the Pop Culture Vultures podcast here with us today to talk about the 2006 movie Monster House, which you so graciously selected, and I am elated to be covering this week. Would you like to tell the people at home a little bit about your podcast and where they can find you?
Sure. We're on anywhere you listen to podcasts, I believe. But, you know, Spotify, Apple, the works. We basically just talk about, we started off talking about general pop culture things. We talked about, like, 70s bands. We'll talk about bands. We'll talk about movies. We talk about shows. And now we're getting into a weird thing where we just kind of talk about whatever we want. We talked about cowboys recently, the history of them in pop culture. We talked about internet culture and, like, aesthetics and stuff last week. So just anything pop culture related that comes to mind, we kind of dissect it. We act like vultures and rip it apart.
We rip it to shreds.
Period. I love your show. I saw you guys on Instagram and I was like, oh my god, it's like looking into a mirror but of like people who don't remember 9/11, you know, like it was very that, because it's like bald shoulder, like the brown hair, like I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's like,
what kind of matrix am I in? But also, I would say our shows are similar vibe. I would categorize them both in, like, my personal listening experience of, like, you have your shows where you want to, like, learn something. You have your shows where you want to pass the time, whatever. I feel like both of our shows would fall under the, like, I need my friends to be here in my ears while I eat lunch or something, you know? It's like the gab, yes, the chit-chat. But yeah, you guys actually, like, reference articles and shit, which is, like, that is far beyond me. So y'all are actually, like citing sources, which I'm like, oof. I'm nervous. Like, I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
We're
like,
pulling up IMDb as we're recording.
Like, do y'all have some primary source documents about Monster House, like, pulled up that I'm, like, about to...
No.
But I...
We have no...
Fabulous.
Yeah. That's what we got.
But I did want to ask, like, what is your history with this movie, or, like, what spurred you to pick it this week? Wait, can I guess first, and then can you tell me?
Sure.
Are you guys, like, Dan Harmon community guys?
Not really. You watched Community.
I never finished Community, but I had a Community period. But not
love,
I
Donald call myself Glover.
Love Troy and Abed.
Love him.
Love Ben.
Yeah.
Never mind then. Okay. I rescind my statement. I never said that.
I
continue.
Do we give that vibe, or do we give, or does it have something to do with Monster House?
Well, I just think to me the only, like, deep reason that you would pick Monster House, other than it just being, like, kind of a cracked movie that was, like, definitely interesting to talk about, is that it was originally written by Dan Harmon, who writes Rick and Morty, and he wrote Community. But most people our age, I feel like, are more, like, I mean, you're also, like, not millennial men, so I assume you're not huge Rick and Morty fans.
Yeah.
But, like, Community, I don't know, it's, like, Dan Harmon, and on his podcast, he talks a lot about, I'm surrounded by a lot of, like, Dan Harmon fan men in my life, so I only know this, like, by proxy, but he wrote the original script of Monster House, but then it basically got, like, decimated through the works, and he's, like, so embarrassed to ever be associated with it. He's like, yeah, like, the director was a hack, they tore my shit to shreds, but he did write, like, the original premise of the movie was a Dan Harmon original, so that's, like, a little tidbit of truth. That was my, like, nugget. I was like, oh, if they're, like, Dan Harmon guys, like, that will be, like, an interesting
thing to get into. Yeah, people have said I would like Community, though. Like, people have recommended it to me that I would like it. But no, that's not... I came up with it, and I told Julia, I was like, what do you think about Monster House for the movie? And I think I was just, like, listening to your guys' podcast, and I was like, what did they not cover? And then, well, my first pick, of course, was Cat in the Hat live action, which is my favorite movie of all time. And I saw you already did that, and I was like, fuck! like, no, like, what am I going to do?
That was her chagrin.
Yeah,
you guys had already covered it. And she's also covered it on our podcast. So it did not need to be talked about ever again.
Yeah, I talk about it on the daily, but whatever. So then I was like, what else is, like, cracked on that level? And there was only, like, a few movies I could think of that, like, I watch regularly that is also, like, on that level of Cat in the Hat. And one of them is Monster House. And I was like, we have to do that. Like, we have to represent ourselves as a brand. And Monster
Absolutely.
House
is that brand, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just how we landed on that. Yeah.
I love that. I have the, like, nostalgia of thinking it was kind of scary. Like, when I was a little kid, I was, like, I was definitely freaked out. Like, this and I remember, like, Corpse Bride.
Yeah.
I was just a little too young to, like, actually be into it, but then it still had the nostalgia factor when I rewatched it at, like, 14, 15, because it had the general vibe, you know, of stuff that was, like, from my early childhood, even though, like, in reality, when I was 7, when this movie came out, I was like, fuck no, not for me, this shit is creepy, no thank you. And I always remember, like, at daycare, they'd put this shit on around Halloween, I'm like, I'm gonna go do crafts, no thank you.
No, it's honestly so, like, when we rewatched it, we were like, this is not for kids. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's crazy.
It's a truly scary Halloween movie. Yeah. Truly scary.
What about you, Emily? How do you, did you, like, grow up with this, or?
I'm certain that I watched it. I have just about zero recollection of it. So.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, it's bad.
I feel like I grew up watching more so, like, the Hocus Pocuses and, like, the Disney movies instead of, like, this was probably running on, like, Cartoon Network.
Yeah,
or
this was, like Cartoon Network was, like, the cracked out kids watched that over, you know, like, the normal kids watched, like, Disney Channel, the alt kids watched Nick, and then, like, the fucking crackheads watched Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I feel like I spent a lot of time at, like, daycare, and it was very much a place where it was, like, oh, these kids can't watch, like, SpongeBob. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, we had to watch, like, a lot of, like, the very, like, restricted stuff. Yeah. And watching this back, I'm like, actually, this one makes sense why they wouldn't show us this.
I get that,
I was like, the amount of gun jokes.
Yes. And, like, all of the, like the for the adult jokes are, like, borderline psychosexual.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain moments where I was like, what are we cracking into right now? But an interesting thing that sort of locked everything into place for me personally was this time around doing my little IMDb fun fact research, realizing that this was made by the same production studio that did Polar Express, A Christmas Carol.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mars Needs Moms and some Beowulf adaptation, but it's Robert Zemeckis, the director of fucking Forrest Gump and every other fucking movie on the planet.
Wow.
This is his, like, passion project, and all of those movies are full mocap. So they do, like, cause you know how Tom Hanks is, like, the conductor in Polar Express, and it, like, straight up looks like him? Like, that was their first iteration.
Wow.
So they fully filmed this movie with child actors in full mocap and then animated on top of them. And that's why it looks so fucking crunchy. That's why it's terrifying. Because they're
I was wondering.
They were like, Maggie Gyllenhaal is here in the studio, but we're gonna put this just abomination of a character design on top of her.
That did not look like Maggie Gyllenhaal. No
Was that actually Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, the babysitter.
Wow.
Did she have dreads? Was she a white girl with dreads, or was her hair just chunkily? It's like so chunkily animated that I'm like, what is going
on?
But
her little dance, like, that is the best. Like, I will watch that forever. So funny. That's crazy.
But that's, like, what really fell into place. I was like, oh, that's why this looks like this. Because it's that our like, our loose theme for the month is introducing actors' first performances, but obviously we waive the theme for all guests because we'd rather have you talk about something you are actually excited to talk about. But I'm going to say that this is introducing Mitchell Musso, who plays DJ, the main character.
When we found that out, we're like, Mitchell Musso. I was like, Julia, you're never going to believe. Because I always look up the cast when we're watching movies. I'm like, you're never going to believe who this is. Our boy Mitchell.
And, like, I don't factually know that he was never in anything before this, but I'd like to think that this was his big break, you know? Like, he got his foot in the door with Monster House, and then right on to Hannah Montana.
I like, hope this was before Hannah Montana. I would love
it
that.
It had to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2006, so I think he was younger.
Yeah.
It may be, I don't know.
No, the animation reminded me of a video game, like a really bad 2000s video game.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Like The Sims.
Yeah, or like it. Yeah, like I'm controlling it and it's a little crunchy. Yeah. Like my graphics card is not up to date, and I'm like trying my best.
Something about the camera angles. Like there was one part where like they went into the car and then the camera was like.
Yeah, it was like shifting
and
around.
I was like, this is like a fucked up video game POV.
Or
right
like
now.
The leaf was like falling and I was like, is this an intro to like Fallout 3 or something? And I was like, what's going on? Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I famously fucking hate the Polar Express, so I'm surprised I actually like this movie based on the I don't know what it is about Polar Express I hate so much, but there are parallels. There's strange parallels. And now that you connected that, I'm like I'm gagged.
That
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What about just this like irks you?
This is a can of worms that you're about to open. Just get ready.
Usually I get so heated about Polar Express. One, I just think, the animation is like so bad. Like it makes me so angry to look at those kids. Like I hate them. I hate those kids. And then also, it's just like it's creepy in a way where like Monster House is creepy, but like explicitly. Uh-huh. I feel like Polar Express is creepy in a way that is like genuinely unsettling. And like for a Christmas movie, like why they got to do that? Like, I don't know. I don't fucking
Yeah, that train car, that, like, train car with all of, like, the lost and, like, forbidden almost items. What? Like, that shit is really
unsettling. There's, like,
unsettling.
A strange juxtaposition of, like, it's supposed to be, like, lighthearted and, like, fun about Christmas. And then just, like, the creepiest shit ever. And I'm like, this just feels wrong. Like, everything about it feels wrong.
And then, like, asshole elves. Like, why are all the elves, like, little assholes?
Yeah, seriously. Like, why? It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, nothing about it makes sense.
But what little I learned about this production studio, the progression was basically, like, Polar Express. They were like, okay, we're going to do mocap. We're going to animate on top of it. We got Tom Hanks. Of course we're going to make him look like Tom Hanks. Like, we got Tom Hanks. But, like, then eventually they're like, well, instead of making the animation look human-like, we're going to do, it's just mocap, but then more of a character design around it. Because these people, I hardly want to call them people in this movie.
Are no one looks like this.
Like, the character design of every person, ugly, rotted, terrifying. Like, they're like, what if a child was disgusting? And all of them. All of them. The only character that did not make my skin crawl was the little girl on her little bike at the very beginning. Very normal looking. Big old pigtails.
She's fine.
She's cute. She's rocking. From that moment, every single new person that they introduce is somehow more grotesque than the last. Bones? Can we talk about Bones?
No one watched Twin Peaks because Bones looks like fucking what's his nuts?
Bob.
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 He's so scary. We were like, is that Bob? Like, what the fuck?
Also, like, in a kid's movie, this really, like, started unraveling a lot of thoughts to me of, like, why are we putting, like, the creepy older boyfriend of the, like, babysitter? Like, why is that even something that's being introduced in, like, a movie that's, in my opinion, probably targeted for, like, what, 8 to 12 is, like, their target demographic? Yeah, this movie definitely. Also makes every adult look like a hack. Every adult is stupid, should not be trusted, lying, just, like, awful. And I'm like, and I think a lot of other kids' movies are like this, too. I'm like, why would you as an adult ever expect kids to respect or listen to you if every single piece of media you put in front of them is like, all adults are liars and bad and stupid.
And we'll never
and
trust
this is why.
Say. Yeah. Like, what?
This is why kids rock. And I'm like, I get that. But I'm like, you're definitely like setting a precedent that it's like, okay, every adult is a creep whose wife is a house. And he's like, if I go on his lawn, he's gonna eat me. Like, what is that about?
That movie, like, inspired fear in a generation of kids of their neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I ruined it.
Who was your neighbor that was actually creepy?
Actually did have a creepy, scary neighbor.
Didn't he threaten to shoot your dog?
He threatened to shoot my dog.
Like, seriously.
He was, like, a redneck guy. He had, like, a tractor, which was weird because we were in the suburbs. So it was like, why do you have a tractor? And then...
What are you that for?
Just a
fuck. Yeah. What?
And then he would be, like, yelling at our dog all the time for barking. He'd be like, you don't shut up that dog, I'm going to shoot her. Like, he belonged in the country.
You're like, these are the burbs. Uh-huh. Do you know where you are, sir?
Yes.
Do you need to go back to the home? That's why.
And I used to throw olives at his window. As sort of retaliation. Yeah. But anyway, so that fear was already there, but it was magnified by a monster.
Now you're like, if I throw olives at his house, will eat me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think he fucked his house?
Probably.
I don't believe he did, but it certainly you know, something to consider.
I really do want to know if the old man was fucking the house, though. And where would, like, anatomically, we were trying to understand this, because, like, the uvula is in the, is that weird light
chandelier?
Fixture? Chandelier?
Yeah, chandelier.
And then the, like, tongues, yeah. Are, and then they, like, go down, and it's like, is that the stomach? And then she, I don't know, it's really confusing. They make it so confused.
It's probably just, like, one rusty pipe in, like, the back of the basement, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
like
your
glory hole. One.
That's the glory hole! Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe I don't want to know. Maybe I don't want to know.
Yeah, because in theory, like, the whole house is just her head. So she's just a head. Like, you know when you're three and you learn how to draw and you draw, like, nugget people? Like, a circle?
With, like,
arms, legs. Like,
yeah.
That's her. That's Constance. Okay, like, yeah. I'm sorry. Like, I respect women's rights and women's wrongs, and I think Constance should have had a gun. Like, give the Monster House a gun.
Yeah, no,
because
those kids were fucked with her. Yeah, literally. I suppose.
Also, like, major plot hole in this movie is that they do the flashback that her... So basically, to summarize this movie for those who have not seen Monster House, is that there's this house that is a monster, and basically the whole movie is a pun on the term housewife, that she's his wife, and she is a house. Oh my god, so silly. Nebercracker, voiced by Steve Buscemi, smash, not that anyone would ask. But Nebercracker, he's like the get-off-my-lawn guy, and... It turns out that he's just protecting his house, who is his wife, because she was a circus performer. In an incredibly upsetting flashback, we get that his wife was a circus performer, that because she was an overweight lady, maybe with, like, giantism or something, because she also seemed incredibly tall, 7 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So she's this incredibly large woman, and, you know, at the circus, they would just roll her out, and people would just throw tomatoes at her, because I guess that's what her act was. I was like, I don't know, girl, if you don't want them to boo, get a talent. Like, you need to
start,
you need to get on a unicycle, juggle, like, you can't just sit there. But this movie, I really couldn't decide if it was, like, fat phobic or, like, fat positive, because they were like she's a circus freak, but then they were like, she is deserving of love. And he's like a carny. Nebercracker's like, I love you, Constance, and I'm gonna build you a home, and I'm gonna steal you away from the circus and build you a life.
And I'm like, and that's what I need. Steal me away from the circus, please.
But was it, my question is, was he just fetishizing her?
Yeah.
He's seen her once. He doesn't know her.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Basically, Nebercracker, he built her a house, and then in the most traumatic scene ever put on children's television, she falls. She, like,
It's crazy.
Into a ditch and accidentally pulls a concrete lever on her way down.
Because they're building a house. Yeah. They're building a house.
Suffocated alive in concrete. And therefore, her soul then emanates into the foundations of this house, and she is the Monster House. And so he then finishes.
I'll tell you what. This is why OSHA exists. Because if they were at all following OSHA guidelines, this would have never happened.
I'm saying. Yeah.
Nebercracker was cutting corners.
He was heavily cutting corners. I also love how that whole flashback scene, they're in just, like, this white, like, limbo.
Yeah, it's like a liminal space. Oh, like, what is going on?
Not a single house around them.
No. Yeah.
Which,
where did these kids that are tormenting her come from? We have no idea.
We're saying, like, also, where do they live?
So then we get into, it's suddenly our protagonist, DJ, is like, I need to save all the kids on Halloween. Because if they go up to her door and ring the doorbell, they're going to get ate. What happened in the decade prior, DJ? She's been a house. She's been a house for 20 years. What do you mean?
45 years, he said. 45 years he was with that house.
This man has been putting up with his housewife for 45 years? No wonder he's pissed. Like, damn.
I'd be fed up.
That house Sussy goes crazy. Like, there's something.
That little pipe in the basement is working wonders.
That's where when you pour the grease down the drain, that's where it goes.
The garbage disposal hole.
That's horrible. Oh my god.
Wow.
But basically, the movie is just these three fuck-ass kids being like, we need to take down the Monster House, and then they do it, and they just put dynamite in the Monster House, and they blow
it up.
Put in
my notes, literally watching this, I said, at the part where they're taking down the house, I said, these are some crazy stunts. They were really going for epic. They were going crazy. crazy. The kid was like hanging off the crane.
Right.
Swinging. I'm like, where'd you learn to do this? Like, that's not realistic.
He's got bravery in his soul. Mitchell Musso.
All you need is one kiss from one lady, and you can do anything.
They were going for Spider-Man. Like, it was swinging literally around. Yeah, seriously. Okay, but that house, like, when it was, like, walking towards them through the neighborhood, and, like, none of the neighbors woke up.
Yeah, Julia was like, why is no one noticing this house?
It's loud as fuck. Like, how would no one wake up to that?
Yeah, seriously.
Everyone's out and about trick-or-treating.
Period.
I guess the fuck so.
But so like
candy,
yeah,
on the brain.
I was gonna say, like, their neighborhood was known for no good candy. Like, that's why nobody was around.
They fled.
Like, ooh,
they
fled. The Tootsie Roll house. Mm-hmm. What was?
I love Tootsie Rolls.
I was just about to say, can we pause the discussion? What was everybody's favorite Halloween candy to get as a kid? What was the one that you were like, yeah, fucking score?
We talked about this on our Halloween episode, and I feel like we said the normal stuff, but today someone brought in a bunch of Tootsie Rolls to work. I don't know where they came from. I don't know why, but I was grubbing on those, and I was like, guys, I love Tootsie Rolls. Everyone was like, calm down. It's
Wait.
Oh, so good.
What are your thoughts on, like, the different flavored Tootsie Rolls?
I love
rolls,
the vanilla,
like,
one. I love the lime.
Love.
The
love.
Lime is good. The
okay.
Good.
I like the raspberry one and the vanilla one.
Ooh, the raspberry one's good, too. I forgot about her. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Fire. All Tootsie Rolls. Love them.
I have to be in a Tootsie
so
Pop.
I also had one of those today. I was grubbing, guys.
I would say I would say my go-to trick-or-treat candy would be, like, Kit Kat or Reese's. Like, classic.
Ooh, Reese's. Yeah,
like, classic.
Mm.
But also a little dum-dum. You know, like, a little dum-dum doesn't hurt nobody, you know? What about you guys?
I can't eat them anymore because I'm scared that they'll rip out my fillings. But I used to love Milk Duds.
Ooh, yes.
So much.
We
I was, like,
someone
at the movie. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
this is good.
We knew someone in high school who had this theory that they swore was rock solid. And she was a lesbian, so I guess she could say whatever she wanted. But she's like, if you like Milk Duds, you're gay. Like, she's like, I'm sorry, I don't make the rules. If you are a Milk Dud enjoyer, you are a homosexual. And that's
like
the rules.
Not really.
Dude, I like Milk Duds. And period.
And I'm
well,
sure.
There you go.
And there you go. More to add to that. More.
All right.
Let her know. Yeah, for her data. Yeah, yeah.
Dara, Milk Duds, yes or no?
Yeah, Milk Duds. Yeah, of course. I'm a caramel enjoyer. I'm also a filling ripper outer enjoyer. Anything that's going to get stuck in my teeth, that's what I was going to say.
I'm so scared.
Butterfingers. The way that Butterfingers fill in your molars.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
They get in there.
It's so good.
A little snack. Really.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You're sitting in the movie theater and you're like, I can't dig these
you're
out
like,
right now.
Like, yeah.
That's every so often on this podcast, I get a little personal, gross, and surgical, and the presence of the uvula in this movie was, like, really, not triggering, but, like, certainly personal to me. Yeah. I had a bunch of shit removed from my face at one point, and they were like, should we take the uvula as well? Because you can just, but they were like, it usually grows back. They're like, if you take the uvula, they're like, unless you really get the root, it usually grows back, so we'll just leave it, like, it's fine, and I was like, okay. I was 19. I was like, okay. I learned recently they took my adenoids, but I recently had somebody put a little camera up there. They're like, oh, they left chunks behind of your adenoids. And I was like, oh, I was like, love to hear it. Thank you.
That's so
You're
disgusting.
Like, can I get that footage, please? I want to see them adenoids. No, the uvula in the movie, though, like, what was it supposed to be? Like, it was not a chandelier. It looked like a sack of basketballs.
It was like a sack of basketballs, for real.
A ball sack,
a ball
if you
sack.
Will.
You heard it here first, folks. 2025, cite this podcast. The biggest interior design trend of next year will be uvula hanging lights. All the balls in the little, like, fishnet sack. It was serving rich people.
I love
it. It's going to be $1 million and everyone's going to have it. Architecture Magazine. Quote me. Quote
it's
me
one Kardashian to put a fucking uvula light in their house, and it's and then they're
and
set.
It's a trend.
That's yeah.
They were just ahead of the game at
period.
The time.
Period.
The singular line of dialogue that saved this movie, because a lot of the dialogue is bad. It's very, like, chunky. It, like, almost feels like it was written by an AI, but it came out in 2006, so that's literally impossible.
No,
but it's giving that vibe of, like, plug in. And you can tell that this was a script that went through so many iterations that the final thing just ended up not even being any semblance of what the original idea was. But that's the uvula. It must be a girl house. killed me to this day. Yeah. I was like, that knocked my socks off. I was like, hats off for that one joke. Honestly, I don't care. I don't care about the rest.
You guys bought it with that joke. Like, let's go. Redeemed yourselves for all the shitty lines that just did not play out.
See, there were so many of them that were so bad, but every now and then there was just one, like, golden line in there. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? The trigger-happy, like, newbie cop or whatever.
Oh my god, yeah.
Coming for the kids, and he was sitting there, like, pointing his gun around, and the other guy was like, stop, that's loaded. Like,
I'm sorry, you mean Nick Cannon?
Yeah,
you
right.
That was Nick.
Yes.
You mean Nick Cannon and Kevin James? That's where we got the peeking through of like, oh, I do see the mocap. I see it peeking through that they were like, well, let's just make them look like that, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I knew by looking at those two, I was like, I know who you are. Yeah. I know that's Kevin James. Like, yeah, I don't even need to look it up.
Convinced.
Yeah, the presence of the cops in this movie was so strange to me because, again, are we, like, I mean, hey, I'm all for teaching kids that cops are bad. Like, that is a pretty good thing to be imparting onto the youth. But, like, are you as a higher adult structure are going to be like, oh, let's make these cops, like, not helpful, actively punishing the children, like, terrifying, just, like, incompetent. I was like, I kind of love this, and I don't think that that was their intention, but I was like, I love this, like, incompetent take on the cops. And the very end, if I were to change anything, the post-credit scene where we first get all the people crawling out of the house-a-see, the hole where the house once was, we get Bones makes it out alive, and I was like, thank god, Bones made it, but the cops didn't. No. Cut to the cops also made it out alive. It would have been hilarious if the house hole was like, we'll keep these two.
Yeah, we'll keep them.
Yeah.
No, Bones freaks me out. Like, I never want to see that man again. I was like, please take him away. Like, please.
That was a lot.
Why did he look like he was, like, 65? Like,
why was he 60? Scary. And he was supposed to be with, like, a high school age babysitter?
Well, she also looked like 30. Like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. That mocap was, like, it was not working for them. It was
Do you remember that scene where he was, like, where Bones was, like, I swear he, like, approached someone and was like,
I think it was the kid.
Yeah, he was trying to.
Yeah.
And he rips up his fucking bunny? His stuffed bunny? The fuck is
fucking
wrong with
prick.
Him? Yeah.
It'd be on site, dude.
Dude, yeah, I hate him. The house can take him, too, honestly. Like, the house was doing the Lord's work. Like, I don't know why we tried to stop her. Like, taking out the kids, taking out Bones, fucking, go on.
Yeah.
Also, like, does she need the toys for, like, sustenance for her soul? Like, is she feeding, or is that just a hobby? Is that just like a side thing that she's like, haha, playing little tricks and pranks? Or I'm like, all that shit that's in her underbelly, is that like what is giving her lifeblood? Because I'm like, in that case, let her steal the tricycle.
Yeah, buy a new one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let her
fuck your kite.
Bicycle. Let her bike. Yeah,
let her bike.
God forbid women have hobbies.
Yes, seriously.
I mean, if I were personally the house, I would want to be stealing things just to like fuck around with kids and like give them a little scare.
Yeah.
But
I
do wonder what it is that she is, you know, getting sustenance from. It seems like it's more people, which is then raises an interesting question about cannibalism.
Right?
Well, is it cannibalism anymore if she's a house, right? Confusing.
Monster house, more like mother house? I don't know. Jen is here to do her interim podcast segment, Chocolate or Vanilla. She's going to say two things. We're all going to say which one we like better. And because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us here right now, I will verbally explain the order of operations to you listening at home. If you're watching on the Patreon, you know, you can see. You have eyes. But if you're listening, of course, I will go first, then Emily, then Julia, then Tony, and then Jen. That's going to be how the answers fall into place. Jen, is there a theme this week?
There is no theme.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
Emily loves no theme. So chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Vanilla.
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. You are outnumbered. You want to be the first one up in the morning or the last one to bed?
I want neither. I want to be asleep all the time. but I think I would prefer to be the first one up. I get kind of spooked if I'm, like, the last one awake and there are other people in the house and they're asleep. And you, like, gotta try to be quiet and shit. I'm, like, trying to make myself a meal at midnight. That's not a vibe.
Yeah, you don't want to do the closing shift duties of, like, checking the locks three times, too.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go first one up in the morning because I like to have my 15 minutes by myself and do like the New York Times mini crossword.
Yes, I would agree with that. I do that every morning.
Yeah,
every day.
I sat at the table doing the Wordle this morning.
Mm-hmm, every morning.
I do the connections, and then I'm like, the rest of my day is filled with existential dread because I'm like, what was the thought process behind? I'm like, I just want to talk. Who makes this? I just want
to talk. Some are so stupid. I'm like, I never would have thought to combine those words into that category. Yeah. Like, no.
The ones that are like starting with a bird's name.
Yeah,
like
what are
some stupid shit like that?
They're like starting with a planet name.
Okay.
But I do feel like my IQ is getting smarter after I do connections. I'm like, I'm really intelligent.
Balances out the weed brain.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, I would agree. First in the morning, because I get lonely if I'm like up late. Even at night, if I'm up past midnight, I'm like, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, feels so strange.
I get sad. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I'm also first up. I just like to have the morning to myself. Like, I like to just like not speak to anyone for like a few hours. That's peaceful.
Same. First one up for this week, definitely. Next one is penne with vodka sauce or fettuccine Alfredo?
Ooh. Why do I feel like the vodka sauce has a little more nuance and depth to it? I feel like sometimes fettuccine Alfredo is fucked up at a restaurant.
Disgusting.
You'll see somebody and you're like, oh, I am so sorry for what your body is going to go through later. Like, that is not okay. So like a fucked up fettuccine Alfredo is something really deeply upsetting to me. So I'll say the penne with vodka sauce.
Here's the thing. It's like fettuccine Alfredo is not like a real dish. You know what I mean? That's just something that Olive Garden made one day. And they're like, here. And we all just said yes.
We were like, this is cool.
I'm going to go penne with vodka sauce, though, because I think that's a really nice one to make. Like, if you're actually like going through the process of making it like from scratch.
I would agree. I don't fuck with Alfredo. Too creamy.
It's a lot.
Isn't really a cheese kind of gal.
I'm not a cheese girl.
She doesn't really like cheese.
But I like penne with vodka sauce.
I would agree. I'm also gonna go with that.
Yeah, another sweet penne with vodka
We're
sauce.
We're still unified.
Fettuccine Alfredo is nasty.
What is it like? Apes strong together. I think I'm just thinking about that because I just saw the trailer for the new Planet of the Apes movie. They're driving that motif home. Apes strong together. Unified, we stand.
The monkeys are like, yes.
Monkeys are like penne with a vodka sauce. Yes.
Okay, this one's for Julia. Tonight, let's get some and live while we're young. Or, and we danced all night to the best song ever.
You don't know how much that means to me that you just said that.
I'm fully going to admit, like, I've listened to your podcast. My mom has probably listened to way more. She's like, so have you listened? Have you listened to the Pop Culture Vultures episode where they talk about the man stuck in the cave? And I'm like, what?
Yes.
Like,
incident? That's great. You're our number one fan. Thank
you. No, I love that. We literally genuinely think that no one listens to ours. We're like, my parents literally don't even listen to the podcast.
No, that's kind of a good thing, though, because sometimes I'll say something and I'm like, oh, well, my mom knows that about me now.
No, literally.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I tell Jen everyone, I'm like, I drunk messaged this people on TikTok. Hopefully they respond.
We were so flattered.
No, we really were, guys.
And Jen, I'm so flattered that, are you a 1D fan as well?
I am a big 1D fan.
Oh my God.
No, Jen, I didn't know this about you. I didn't know that, Jen.
Guilty pleasure. She's like revealing it to you now.
Yeah, and we got the crossover because, like, Glee, they're doing One Direction. Oh my God.
Girl, this is music to my ears.
Jen's about to start doing a segment on you guys' podcast.
Okay, wow. Wait, what was it again?
Tonight, let's get some and live like we're young.
Mm-hmm.
And we danced all night to the best song ever.
You know, out of those two, I prefer Best Song Ever. It's a classic.
It's a bobber.
But in terms of, like, a motto to live by, I think Tonight Let's Get Some and Live While We're Young is, like, the type of vibe I'm trying to cultivate. Like, I'm
Tonight
like,
Let's Get Some and Live While We're Young.
Like, I want to cultivate, like, fun, like, exciting, you know, like hanging out. That's what I want to cultivate. So I would say that
yeah.
one.
Period.
Yeah.
Totally, because they don't mean, like, get some. They mean just, like, get some. Yeah.
I mean, you can get anything you want if you're living while you're young. Like, it really could be. It's up to you, I guess.
For me, getting some is getting some more One Direction to listen to.
Yeah, I'll have to agree. Getting some and living while we're young sounds pretty nice right now.
Kind of going through a dry patch, so.
Kind of sounds good right now, yeah. I would agree.
I'm going to have to go for the live while we're young lyric, because that, something about that music video just scratches my brain, mm-hmm. and I'll never feel happier.
Great. It's just so much fun. They're just like jumping around the right? countryside. What could be better than that?
Oh, yeah. Sopping wet. Yes. What else do you need?
Yes.
I'm gonna go contrary and say the Dance All Night to the best song ever, whatever the fuck. Yeah. I'm not a 1D person. Julia enlightened me on the pod. I didn't even know all their names.
Have you seen that video though? The best song ever video?
No.
Oh my god.
Also iconic.
So iconic.
That's just my vibe though. I'll be up at night dancing around.
Yeah, that know? Makes sense for you. Yeah, totally.
I'm gonna go live like we're young. Next one, Crocs or Docs?
Oh, you're pulling at my heartstrings, Jen. I love both. I just got some gibbets that look like Pokemon for my Crocs. I have platform Crocs. They're very special to me.
Wow.
But I learned recently that Doc Martin, like the Dr. Martin, was a Nazi. So they are like
that.
So that is like, I mean, obviously no longer any association because he's fucking dead. But like, I'm like, oh, is that a thing? There's also like lace code. And people are like, if you wear the yellow laces, that means you want somebody to pee on you. And I'm like, I don't think that that's what that means. But it's like, you know, the hanky code, but it's like for your dogs. Oh. It's like a punk thing, yeah. But I don't think it's real because everyone and their mother has Docs now, so I don't think we're doing the lace
code. No one knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say, I'll say Docs still, though. Tried and true. Those shoes have done well.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty anti-Crocs, honestly, so I'm going to have to go Docs on this one.
I would agree. That my style is definitely more Docs than Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
Have you worn some Crocs recently, though?
Not or recently.
So comfortable.
I used to have pink Crocs as a kid.
Oh my god, I had green.
Yeah, nice. Cosmo and Wanda. Anyway,
period. I would also say Docs, though. I got some of those Doc sandals. I love those fuckers.
Oh yeah, those are really cute.
Yeah, I wore them with socks the other day to work, though, and I got, like, flamed. But it's for fashion, so I don't care.
They don't understand.
They don't get it. They don't
high
get
fashion.
I have never worn either, but I'll go Crocs. Next one is two Disney chickens. Chicken Little. Or Hey Hey, the chicken in Moana.
They got that man to voice Hey Hey. What is his name? He's like a Juilliard-trained singer. I mean, he's also like an actor or something. But I remember like behind the scenes, we got Juilliard-trained man to be this fucking chicken who doesn't say anything other than like, bark. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, what is this pandering bullshit? Fuck that. Is it Zach Braff is Chicken Little, though, right? And he gives me the ick hard. So I will pick.
I hate Zach Braff.
I will pick the almost nonverbal went to Juilliard chicken over something any day.
Yeah, Zach Braff gives me the ick. So I'll go for Hey Hey as well.
I'm going to have to go for Chicken Little, you guys. I loved
why does this feel like a hear me out right now?
No, it's like hear me out with Chicken Little.
Wait, I'm gonna have to go for Chicken Little.
Would smash. Well, no, I wouldn't smash. But it's just a nostalgic movie.
Yeah. I would also have to go Chicken Little. I actually watched it fairly recently, a rewatch, and it kinda went hard.
Did it hold up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched it like maybe a year ago.
I also haven't seen Moana, I should say.
Wow.
So that's my bad.
I think I only saw that in theaters. Like, I haven't rewatched it since. So, yeah. Chicken Little, he's my guy.
I'm going to go with Hey Hey. And Dara, it's the redheaded actor from Knight's Tale in the Heath Ledger movie.
That's Oh my God, I love that movie.
No way.
Yeah, I do too.
He's blonde. That's a blonde adult man.
No, not the tall blonde guy.
I know who she's thinking of.
The redheaded guy.
Her redhead friend? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He's the Juilliard trained singer.
Correct.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Interesting career trajectory.
Yeah. I respect that.
Next one is Macklemore or Black Eyed Peas?
Oh God. Wow. Interesting. Interesting.
What a question.
Can anyone here, other than me, name all four members of the Black Eyed Peas? Of course, we all know Will.i.am and Fergie. Can you name the other two?
No, those are
it's
only two.
Apple the App, and then I don't know the last one.
Taboo.
Like, who are they?
I don't know. That's like a trivia thing that I have like deeply locked away. Mm-hmm. But Just Google original lyrics to Let's Get It Started, and you'll have to see why. Macklemore is actually doing a lot of good, like, speaking out, like, against the genocide in Gaza right now. Like, he's doing a lot of, like, pro-Palestine shit, which I'm like, good for you, Macklemore. Didn't really expect that from you, but hell yeah. So I'll pick Macklemore.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his music is mid as fuck, but, like, hey, use your platform, I guess, bro. When I was in the third grade.
Thrift Shop had a chokehold on society. My dad was like, what? Why was everybody so into that?
No, seriously, it was a phenomenon.
It was.
Yeah. I gotta say, though, whenever a Black Eyed Peas song does come on in the grocery store, I'm doing my little head bop.
Dude,
like, I can't say no to that, so I'm gonna go Black Eyed Peas on this one.
I think I would agree because it has more like childhood 2000s nostalgia, whereas Macklemore is like the weird like kind of middle school freshman year vibe.
Right? Like I wanted to peel my skin off at that time, so bringing me back to that is not something that I
Heard like Can't Help Us, like here we go back, you know, like it would be like too much of a rewind for me. I don't think I could handle it. You know,
yeah, my brain would start melting out of my ears.
Yeah,
seriously. I would also say Black Eyed Peas. They just got some bops. Like, I can't
I'm
deny
a bee.
It.
I'm a bee.
So good.
I'm a bee. So good.
So good.
I'm going to go with Macklemore because we had a Macklemore phase in our house for sure. Next one, deep dish pizza or thin crust pizza?
I have to say I'm not very cultured, and I don't really know the true capacity of a deep dish pizza. Like, I haven't had enough to really say whether I like it or not. Also, the Detroit, where the cheese is underneath the sauce, I'm interested. I'm intrigued, but I don't know her. I'm just not, we're not acquainted yet, but love me a thin crust. Her and I, well acquainted, so I'll go with some thin crust.
Yeah, no, I'm one of those people that has the hot take that New Haven, Connecticut has the best pizza. Dude, it's so good.
I think a lot of people think that.
But that's like super thin crust, so I'm gonna go thin crust on that.
I would agree.
Aren't there also clams? There's clams on it though, right?
Some of them. Oh. Some of them have like clam pizza. That's disgusting. I'm not about that.
That's bizarre.
What's that fucked up pizza we were talking about?
St. Louis pizza. St. Louis pizza uses like, I've never had it, but it uses like a different kind of cheese and it's cut in squares. I don't know.
That sounds fucked up.
I don't know. My dad is from Chicago, so I've had many a deep dish, and I don't fuck with a deep dish. I think it's, like, too casserole-y.
Too much?
It's so loaded, and it's, like, you know, it's good, but it doesn't feel like a pizza to me. Like, I love a thin crust. I'm gonna have
that's
to
lasagna.
Yeah, it's like lasagna, or it's like a casserole. It doesn't feel like pizza.
Yeah. I would also have to say thin crust. It's just, like, I feel like you can mess up a deep dish real bad, but, like, you can't really mess up a thin crust, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree 100%. Thin crust. Next one, pickleball or CrossFit?
Honestly, fuck both of these things to their core. Fuck both of these things. But the way that pickleball has just such a chokehold on the, like, all white people. What are you doing? Why is there, like, a new pickleball community center in the town I live in? What the fuck is going on? Yeah. What sort of... It's sinister. It feels sinister to me.
Cultish.
At least, like, the CrossFit people who are out with those glow stick harness vests running at 3 a.m. and I'm like, get a job. I'm, like, yelling out of my passenger side. I'm like, get a job! But hey, at least they're committed to something. What the fuck is going on with pickleball? I don't want to know.
I can't stop thinking of that Ellen DeGeneres meme of her, like, about to play pickleball. I think that shit is so, like, I don't know. Like Dara said, cultish. And at least, like, people that are doing CrossFit are actually, like, getting fit and can, like, do a pull-up with the bench strapped to their chest. You know what I mean? Pickleball, I don't know what it's doing.
Yeah, pickleball is not playing.
Guys, why is everyone fucking shitting on pickleball? I'm, like, curious about it. I would be a pickleballer.
Yeah, okay, well, here's my bone to pick with pickleball, is that I'm a tennis player. And once you started, I saw the takeover of pickleball happen live. Because I would be on the tennis courts, and then they would start just being infiltrated by pickleball players. And I was like, these are for tennis.
No, literally just play tennis, though. Like, if you're going to be playing pickleball,
I mean,
play tennis.
I get it because pickleball is, like, easier than tennis, but it's also, like, I don't know, get your own little get your own shit. And just like the white millennials went crazy over pickleball.
They really did.
But I probably would still pick pickleball just because I know I could do it. Whereas like I couldn't do CrossFit to save my life personally. So I'd probably pick pickleball.
I just feel like CrossFit people are the most insufferable people to be around. So I'd much rather be like with the old people playing pickleball is my take.
Yeah.
But yeah, so pickleball, I guess.
Yeah, same. I have never done either of these, but I think CrossFit is an injury waiting to happen.
So no, seriously.
Yeah, agree.
Fair. I'll go pickleball. Last one. Born in the USA by Bruce or Party in the USA by Miley?
Oh, wow.
No.
Miley. It's gotta be Miley Cyrus.
This is really tough because my dad is so lovely. He'll always get concert tickets for like the whole family. So I saw Bruce Springsteen recently.
Oh, wow.
Yo.
He is like 76 years old. He could still get it. I'm going to have to go for Bruce Springsteen on this one.
Yes.
Oh, also, Jeremy Allen White is going to play him like soon.
Oh,
please, that's crazy. I'm gonna lose my mind.
I think he's already been cast. I think it's confirmed.
Wow. What is it gonna be called? Bruce? I hope so.
Probably some shit like that.
The
yeah.
boss?
Bruce with five U's. Bruce.
Yeah.
That is a hard one, but I'm gonna have to go with Miley. Just classic. And I loved that music video. That music video has a special place in my heart. And I just hear that and I'm so patriotic when I hear that song.
Dude, another thing to add to our list.
Yeah.
Both of those songs. We have a list, an ongoing list of like things that make us feel patriotic. It's like five things on there, but yeah. We're like, just a reminder when we feel like we need to like leave the U.S.
Yeah, it's like 9/11 documentaries and like cowboys and like Texas Roadhouse.
I think a good one to add to that is Lady Gaga when she did the Super Bowl halftime show.
That's a good one.
Yes.
That's a good one.
I'm going to say Born in the USA. I fucking love that song. Although I am having a Hannah Montana-themed birthday party, so like that holds a special place in my heart. Like Miley Cyrus is alive and well in me.
Good.
Yeah.
As she should be.
I will take Miley, and that's it for no theme, chocolate or vanilla.
Yay. Slay. Fabulous. Thank you, Jen. Yay. As always, we love having you. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Love you guys. Have an awesome night.
Good to be here.
Love you.
I will say, like, I feel like a lot of movies that have that, like, annoying sidekick like Chowder usually don't do it for me. Usually I feel very immune to them. I don't think it's charming. I think they're still very annoying. This one, he got me.
Really?
I was team Chowder all the way. Absolutely.
He was annoying. Julia said he looked like Logan from Gilmore Girls, and I was like, who on what? Like, why?
I believe I was right.
I was like, girl, why? Just because he's blonde? I was like really confused by that.
I showed you a picture and you understood the vision. Have you guys seen Gilmore Girls?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Let me do a
quick the real ones? No. Or they are confused by Julia's observation as well.
Listen, I don't want to hear from you. But what I was going to say is that the vibe between them is also like Greg Heffley and Rowley from
Firewood. It was giving that.
Blueprint. Yeah, the blueprint of that friendship was very much rooted in these two. Because, literally.
They look the same. Like, what?
They did.
Yeah.
One to one. Also, I'm like, did we need a love triangle with this fuck-ass girl?
No.
I'm like, write her out. No. Make it a little friendship story. She did not need to be there, other than that she was, like, quote-unquote, the brains. But I feel like DJ was like, gathering evidence, doing his telescope shit. They didn't need to, like, bring in a third character to be like, I'm the one who is in charge and will make the rules and be responsible. Like, the pseudo-adult, right?
Yeah, plus she was annoying. Like,
she was
really
so annoying.
Making women look bad.
Yeah, they were trying to
give... Only female character besides, like, the fuck-ass babysitter who has dreads. Like, come on.
Bad female representation. No, they were trying to give Hermione. Like, they were trying to give, like, the Hermione Harry Ron vibe.
Yeah.
And I was just not on board with that. I was like, okay with the Harry and Ron vibe, but she was just annoying. And, like, you knew a bitch like that when you were a kid. Do you know what I mean? Like the know-it-all kind of girl who's like trying to sell you something on your porch. She's like soliciting you to buy like Girl Scout cookies. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
That was the vibe.
I hate a precocious child.
Yes.
I hate a precocious child on this podcast.
Yes.
I had a question though. Does this movie take place in the 80s?
I don't know.
Like, to me, it's like a timeless void.
It's literally a video game. Like, it feels so just not of this world. So odd.
I couldn't really say. I thought it was more 2000s, but then the car, like, we're thinking about the cars, they seemed maybe a bit older. 80s.
Yeah. And the kid was wearing that weird-ass turtleneck. What was that about?
Yeah, like his striped turtleneck, yeah.
Turtleneck.
No, but I love
to pull it off, yeah. Why was that kid at, like, age 8 wearing that turtleneck, though? Like,
that
no.
does give 80s.
Yeah, he was giving 80s.
Because the only thing that really, like, keyed me in was when they go to the guy who apparently is going to give them all of the information, and he's, like, the video game. What do they call him? They have, like, a nickname for him or something.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And
oh.
they go, and he is so irrelevant, other than that they go, and they're like, we need the video game guy to tell us about lore, about, like,
because
he's going to know about the house for some fucking reason, and they go.
That's very 80s.
You're right.
And that's getting Stranger Things, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes, right, that's what it was giving. I was like, oh, so this is, like, very much this dynamic that we've seen in this other 80s-inspired piece of media. So I was like, is this trying to be the 80s? And then I was, like, actively thinking about it the whole time, and I'm like, it could or it could not. Like, it really, it could go either way. But I love that that guy did not need to be there, but voiced by Napoleon Dynamite, John Hader.
Yeah, I saw that.
There was just this one scene, and I swear on my life, I rewound and watched it back at least 4 to 5 times, because it's this weird moment where he's playing the video games, and he's talking to these kids, and I'll have to post a clip of it somewhere on our Instagram. I'll post a clip with our post for this, because I'm not even going to do it justice. He's, like, playing the game, he stops, he talks to the kids, and he runs out of the store, right? He's, like, starts running, he pauses, he stops, he makes a retching noise, pauses, turns back around, runs back to them, and then continues the conversation, and it's so absurd.
What? I don't even remember that.
It makes no sense. Yeah, all of that takes place over the course of, like, 5 seconds, and I was like, am I stroking out? Am I having a stroke?
You might be. Are you thinking of when he goes and he, like, runs back and he grabs their candy and shoves it into his mouth or whatever?
Yes, he retches. He runs back.
Does he
retch? Yes, he retches. He goes like, ugh. He, like, makes this just, like, weird guttural deep throat noise. And I don't know if they were trying to express that, like, he's out of shape and he starts running, and then he, like, is huffing or something. I could not tell, but I swear.
See, that clip is the thing that I've interacted with the most in the last, like, I couldn't even say, like, 10 plus years or so. Because the amount of times I've seen, like, memes that are like, oh, this is gonna be so bad, we can cut this if we need to. But it's like, oh, this is a baby at, like, 13 weeks old. And then people reply with that meme of them, like, eating it.
Oh, my God.
It's so bad. And I gasped when I saw it come on my screen. I was like, no, this can't be the movie with the abortion joke.
This can't be the source material right now.
So funny. Wow. I think there's something I was going to say about that, and now the thought is gone, so
I don't know where it went.
We're gone. The abortion thing really got me. I can't come back from that.
Yeah, sorry.
That's so funny.
The whole John Hader character, I was like, I was like, he doesn't need to be here, but it's not really pissing me off as much as, like, the little redhead girl. I was like, fuck her. All of the scenes with, like, DJ and his parents, and, like, is that his stepdad or something? And his dad
cunt to him. Yeah.
His dad.
He knows I love him. Like,
yeah. Like, okay. Keeps making, like, these just, like, insane comments, and I was like, why does any of this matter, other than it's like they're leaving him alone for the weekend? Like, they're the kind of parents who would leave their, how old do we think he is, 12? Yeah. Like, they would leave their 12-year-old, you know, alone for the weekend. But I'm like, did we really need to establish that his dad, like, is a peeping Tom? Like, that's so strange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what?
I forgot, like, so, about that.
So many, like, weird,
why
things.
Add that in?
For a kid's movie. I was like, this is
no,
really
and then perplexing. And then when they were backing out the driveway, they, like, the ball went past, or they, like, hit a bump or something, and they were like, what was that? He was like, was that one of the kids or something? He was like, was that DJ? And then he's like, well, you probably wish it was or something. I was like, what, did he hit her son or what? Like, why would she want to hit her son with a car? Like, I was so confused. Like, just all the dialogue with the adults, I was like, what is going on? Like, no.
Yeah, many unnecessary, creepy little dialogue moments.
Like, everything didn't
add up. Yeah.
Everything between the babysitter and Bones, right? I was like, even the babysitter doesn't even need to be a character, because I'm like, she doesn't help them in destroying the house. Basically, no. she produces the sacrificial bones to then get eaten to progress the house is a monster story, right? But but like, she did not need to be there. She was not helpful.
Except for that dance. Like, that's all she contributed to
that
this
really
movie.
Stuck with you. That,
like, seriously, like, that was formative to me.
Do we want to get into our regularly scheduled programming? So I feel like
absolutely.
To play Fuck, Marry, Kill is so tough, because do we include the house is the big question.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, so, like, I think so. Totally. Yeah.
So it's like Nevercracker, the house, and then what fair do we want to do? Like, is the babysitter an adult? Is she?
No, I feel like that's a 16-year-old.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, probably.
I feel like if we do Bones, we're all just going to kill Bones, because he's scary. Maybe the video game guy, John Hader.
Do we the cops?
Do the both of them are one choice, actually. So the
cops. Yeah, I think so.
The cops, yeah. Nevercracker. And then Constance. I mean, I'm going to marry Constance. I want to marry that house. Side question for all of you after. If your, like, life partner was going to be turned into some sort of architectural structure that you then had to, devote maintenance to, what would you prefer? I think maybe, like, a library would be kind of fun. Like, you know, you got to keep the book stock or something. I mean, what would my actual... in real life husband, I think, what would Henry be, Emily? Like, Henry would probably be, I don't know, like a Home Depot, maybe? Or or like...
No, I... Oh, God. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me think on that.
I don't know what Henry would be, but I think if I were to have to, like, maintain some sort of thing that is, you know, my wife, I would maybe do library wife. Is library house, library
love
wife.
That. It has to be like a
building of any sort. I mean, it could be like a pillar if you want your wife to just be a pillar. Like, I guess, I guess you could go for that. I mean, like, one of those ugly ass apartment buildings, like, you know, the ones.
Oh my god!
Like the gentrification.
Yeah.
I mean, she could be a baseball stadium.
Rise. Yeah,
she could be anything, I guess.
I'm going for coffee shop with mine, period.
Mm-hmm.
Place I like.
That's a good one.
Provides me with things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fun.
I would say a gazebo.
Yeah. Gazebo.
I feel like that's sort of romantic.
A gazebo.
A gazebo is nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Is a greenhouse, like, much of, like, opting out?
No.
Because it's...
Greenhouse.
Okay.
And if all the plants die, then she dies. So you really gotta... make sure
exactly yeah.
Also, like, movie theater wife, that would be kind of on
that'd be good.
See, they could have turned this into a whole series. They could have Marvelified. They could have universally expanded.
It's like monster library shop, monster greenhouse, monster high,
like the dolls, monster high.
It's high school. That's the worst of all of them, I fear.
Yeah.
But I feel like Fuck, Marry, Kill, I'm gonna marry the house. I'll fuck Nevercracker because I do have a thing for Steve Buscemi, and I will kill John Hader. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel like you have to kill the cops, so I'm gonna kill them. I think I'm gonna do the same thing, I guess, even though I don't really want to give Nevercracker the ride of his life, but if I have to, I will.
Dude, he's gonna die of cardiac arrest on top of you.
No.
Why did that one guy? What was that one? What was that movie from last year? What was that called? Bo's Afraid.
Bo's Afraid.
That was literally like that movie. Did y'all see that movie?
Did somebody die of a heart attack on top of somebody else in that movie? That's wild.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I've got to see it.
Broke up me and my ex-boyfriend.
It's like the mommy issues movie, right? Like, it's...
Yeah. It's like, it's just so, it's so like male gazey. I just fucking hated it. It was horrible. But... yeah, there was a weird scene like that. It's fucked up.
I've seen the scene where she chugs the paint. You know what I mean?
God, it's so crazy.
Damn, I need to watch it.
You shouldn't tell me what you think, because it's... I'm curious.
I'm curious in, like, a disturbing way.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
I think I'm going to switch things around, and maybe this is controversial, but I think I would marry Nevercracker, because... You know, he kind of has a heart of gold.
I was going to say the same thing.
You know?
That's true.
And I would fuck the house because I'm simply curious about it. I'm curious about, like, the mechanics of that.
Yes.
And I would kill the cops. Yeah.
Dude, I'm doing the same fucking thing. We always do that.
Give me five.
Oh, I thought we were doing our...
That's right.
Yeah, I would do the same. Nevercracker, yeah, I couldn't fuck that old man. I'm so sorry. Like, I could not. Like, fucking a house is, that trumps the old man. So I'm going to go fuck the house. Okay. Marry him, kill the cops. Always kill the cops. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
ACAB.
Gotcha.
Yeah, ACAB.
But so you're hosting a little monster house party. I would hope it would be in October, but you never know. It could be a year-round film. You know, you could be doing a little spooky Monster House in April soiree like we're doing right now. Exactly. But so you're going to host. What are you eating and drinking with your film? Mine are pretty lame. I was like, you could build like Halloween-themed gingerbread houses, right? Like you could get the kits and do like spooky. I bet they sell them at like fucking Marshall's or some shit of like spooky gingerbread houses. But I feel like the pre-made kits always taste like ass. Like they're fun to build, but then you're like, I don't want to eat this. Like this is.
Oh, I've never eaten that shit.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's terrible.
So my alternate choice were those little sugar cookies that have like the really fucked up like pumpkins or bats on them. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
The Pillsbury, like it's so ugly, but like they're so tasty.
They're
good.
And it says so many of those in the fall, yeah.
So good.
And it says, like, bake them for 12 minutes, but you really only bake them for 5, so they're, like, mostly raw, and you just, you pound.
Down them.
That's perfect for this movie.
Yeah. Pound those. And then I Googled uvula cocktail, because I was like, let's see.
Sarah.
I was like, let's see. I was like, I don't know.
That feels crazy.
I was feeling uninspired. But so three separate web sources all cited the same recipe under uvula cocktail. So it has to be
more than
one thing is calling this a uvula. So I don't know. But it's brandy, maraschino liqueur, lemon juice, and pineapple juice.
That sounds fire.
Sounds kind of good.
Sounds fire to me.
Okay.
Sounds kind of tasty, but I guess and none of the websites, none of the, like, drink blogs cited why it was called that. I was like, no, but I was, like, Googling, like, why is it called a uvula? But then I kept getting, like, your uvula is infected? Call a doctor. And I was like, that's not what I want. I want to know about the cocktail, but none of them said why, so I don't know. But
I guess we need to make them and, like, figure out, like, see if something happens to our uvulas. Like, what if we drink them and our uvula falls
They're,
out?
Like, shaking.
Right. Yeah. Our uvulas are quaking in our throats.
They're like, if you're allergic to pineapple juice, this will get you swole.
yeah, literally.
What the fuck?
What about you, Emily? What is your food and drink?
So I really hate, like, a creamy or, like chocolatey drink, but this one felt like I had to since it's, like, Halloween, and I was going for something Snickers, kind of. So, obviously, I find a Snickers martini off of all recipes.
Oh, my God.
So, you can't go wrong. So I think you make one of those. It's coffee liqueur, Bailey's, amaretto, hazelnut liqueur, and then, like, I think it's so funny, it's a half ounce of vodka, because everything else is all just liqueurs. And then I think you do, for some reason I was feeling, like, cinnamon rolls with this would really hit. And if you wanted to get really fancy, I saw Maddie Matheson posted a recipe recently for carrot cake cinnamon rolls.
Dude, he's and right. I love him.
That sounds so fucking good. I feel like you have to give that a shot.
Dude,
if you're trying to get
that.
Fancy with it.
That sounds so good.
That sounds
good.
Amazing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You guys got way more into it than I did personally.
Yeah.
I did like the
We've been doing it for 3 years.
Okay. I did candy corn. You know,
yeah,
Halloween.
Classic,
like classic Halloween snack. Yeah,
yeah.
Are you a candy corn enjoyer? Like, I know it's very polarizing.
I'm not big on candy corn. Like, I'll maybe eat a couple, but that's about it.
Here's,
like,
the thing: candy corn with peanuts. Okay,
sure.
Mixed in a little thing. Something about that, we call it Halloween crack. And when I see that around that time of year, I'm like, yes. It's just so good.
Wait, that sounds really
good. It, like,
good.
Balances out. It's so fucking
fire.
Yeah,
because on its own, candy corn's a bit too sweet and weird,
yeah,
I think. But if you have some peanuts, sure.
Yeah.
What my drink of choice does not balance it at all, and that is Dr. Pepper.
Dude, that's such the vibe of this movie, though. Like, they would be drinking Dr. Pepper.
See, I was really going through, like, what
for
would
sure.
be eating and drinking.
That is so accurate.
That's it. Yeah.
That's so accurate.
I'm pretty sure they... They were canonically pissing into Dr. Pepper bottles at one point in this film.
They
or
were.
Was it Mountain Dew? I don't know, but it was scary. They harped on it for a little too long. They're like, don't drink that to multiple people. I was like, we're really.
I know, that's piss in a bottle. They were like, okay, you're really driving that home for us. Thank you. For my drink, I was thinking like some cider, you know, it's fall. Mm-hmm. So you spike cider.
Classic.
Maybe, you know, what do we put in ours? Whoa. Like a, we just put shooters in our cider.
Fireball.
Like little, yeah, fireball. Throw some fucking fireball in there. Yeah. Spice it up. And then I didn't go for snack. I went for like meal and I was thinking like stew. I just love making stews. Remember that one stew I made? And I was like talking about it for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. The veggie stew. Yeah.
Hearty. No, I do like we all are like in mentally this party's happening in October because I'm like if you're watching this movie any other time of the year it's kind of like okay interesting. But did you see though that Fireball is getting sued because their nips, well we call them nips, shooters, their little bottles don't actually contain the amount of alcohol as advertised because it says they call it cinnamon whiskey or whatever, but it's not whiskey. It's like something else. And so they're being sued for false advertising, basically, that those shooters have hardly any alcohol in them. It's basically it's like cinnamon extract, basically. And that's that's it. Yeah, I mean, you can research it. I'm probably not delivering the exact facts as I saw one TikTok about it, but it's basically that those Fireball nips are like it's a sham, it's a fraud.
That's crazy. I bet a lot of the shooters are.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we put like a couple in our drinks and we like don't ever really feel anything, and I'm like that's kind of it should be a lot of alcohol, and then we're like whatever, you know, like, you just gotta like I just feel like it's just mostly flavoring in there.
Yeah.
Do you guys have McGillicuddy's over there? Or is that just a very Massachusetts thing? I'm assuming by your response.
McGillicuddy?
Sounds like Massachusetts. McGillicuddy.
They're like these fucked up little nips or whatever, or shooters.
I'm going to start calling them nips. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I've never heard that. I'm like, nips.
We're getting like the East Coast culture.
Yeah,
right
I love that.
Right.
But they have like 7 different flavors, and it's like
fucked up.
What is it?
Pumpkin
pie. They're really fucked
there's
up.
There's one that's apple pie. Yeah, it's
apple pie. There's a menthol one.
Grape.
There's grape, cherry.
Root beer.
There's a butterscotch one. Root beer. I liked the root beer ones.
They're basically for. They're like those Juul carts that are basically for children, right? They're like, why would you make it cotton
like
candy?
Cotton candy. You're like. What are you trying to do?
Yeah, they're like, why are you making a butterscotch-flavored alcoholic beverage if it's not for kids in high school? Like, that's
Seriously.
Very much the vibe.
Yeah, 19 years old, picking up a whole sleeve of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
So then at your party, you're going to watch something else after Monster House to continue the vibes. What are you going to pick? I had two very differing vibes. The first one was Howl's Moving Castle. That's another soul of a architectural thing. Much that. But then also the Darren Aronofsky movie Mother. Was that what you were going to say?
No, but I fucking love that movie. It's so good. Wait, but that makes sense because the Monster House...
Mother House.
That's literally like Monster House grown up and like sprinkle some Christianity in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
That's crazy.
What about you?
Yeah. First place my head went was you can follow it up with the 2018 version of It. Just because it feels very much in the same vein.
That's so true.
But I would rather, I think, go for one of those fuck-ass movies that came out around the same time where it didn't have a plot, really. So I think you could, personally, I watched Over the Hedge more as a kid.
God.
I think you could do Over the Hedge, or if you wanted to get really cracked with it, you could watch
Hoodwinked! Hoodwinked!
Oh my god, no.
Another movie she viscerally hates.
I don't know why I hate it. You would think I would like it too. Maybe I just hate it because I have a friend named Lily and she like insists that we like always watch Hoodwink. She's like, guys, please watch Hoodwink with me. And I'm like, I just have an aversion to it. I'm like, no, I will not watch Hoodwink.
The animation isn't that different.
I think the kid reminds me of Joey King. I think that's why I hate it. God, that's so true. Is he not Joey King coded? Like, that is Joey King.
You're right.
And I can't fucking watch it. Like, I'm like, no, absolutely not.
What about you guys? Okay,
my follow-up movie, I had a revelation. I had an epiphany,
if you will. This is true. This is also true. Okay. Another like, woman
house
embodiment thing.
So I think the antithesis of Monster House is Up, the movie Up. Because
yes!
Think about it. It's so like this good. Old curmudgeon old man who's, like, misunderstood, and then this connection between the wife and the house and having to, like, eventually sort of, like, say goodbye to the wife and the house.
And two, like, kid side characters with, like, the Boy Scout and his dog.
Yeah,
like that's the same energy as like DJ and
it's
Shower.
Like the antithesis.
So
up.
True.
Yeah. So I feel like that would be a good way to like balance out the vibes. Do you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Hell yeah.
That's you could write like a BuzzFeed's not a thing thesis. Anymore. You could
a
write
a full thesis. Yeah.
You writing oh, my you dissertation could. About the different the similarities between Monster House and Up.
Yeah. I'll go crazy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this like doesn't really go with the house vibe at all, but I was thinking like just movies around that time that are kind of similar vibes, and one that is so good that's like slept on, Paranorman. Do you remember that movie? My younger brother was like that was like his hyper fixation movie for a few years when he was like 7, maybe younger, and he would like watch that every day, and I was like, look, he slaps. Like there were some funny jokes in there, like the jokes that and like in Monster House that didn't land. It, like, they played off those jokes really well in Paranorman. They were just, like, they hit. It's funny.
And they're definitely in the same vein.
Yeah. So I would say that. I would say that movie.
Yeah.
And then, finally, what would you rate this movie out of 10? I'm going to give it a 4 because it is just a piece of... It's, like, I hate it, yet it's brilliant. I love it, yet it's awful. Like, it is towing that line of I'm not sure... And I'm glad that I revisited it with, like, the watchful eye of, like, taking podcast notes. Because I was like, if you really pay attention, it's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, if you look in the background, like, sometimes there's incredibly funny little side things in the background that are like, oh, that's so hilarious. But then you're, like, also look in the background and it's nothing. And it's blank. And you're like, oh, so they didn't have money to animate anything other than the person on screen, like incredibly strange. So yeah, I'm gonna give it like a weird 4, but like it could also be a 7. Like it really depends.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you there. Just because it toes that line, I'm gonna give it a hard 5 right in that middle.
I think I would agree. I would say I would maybe give it a 6 for a nostalgia factor.
Are you reading my mind? Get out of my head, bro.
I would
we need to, like,
six.
Not live together and spend every, like, living moment together because we literally have the same brain.
I would say a 6, but also a 5 because the more I talk about it, the more I, like, process it, I'm like, oh, it was weird. Like, it was very, very – well, I knew it was weird, but it was, like, problematic the more I think about it.
Yeah,
so that makes me think it's more of, like, a 5.
Period. I was going to say I'm a nostalgic bitch, and I give it a 6. I also just love just, like, weird shit like that. Like, why does this exist? Like, just the basis of, like, why does this exist, it gets a 6 for me. You know?
Yeah.
It definitely, like, perfectly encapsulates the 2006 moment in time of, like, we're progressing animation, but this is not a good example. Like, this was a stepping stone, but it's, like, a wobbly stepping stone.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're about to fall. Yeah.
It's not cute. Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much for coming on our podcast. As I stated before, I will link all of your stuff in the description below. So if you're still listening, please go check out Pop Culture Vultures. Go give them a follow. Give them a star rating on whatever. Please. Also, give us a star rating. Preferably 5. Yeah. Preferably 5s, but if, you know, do what you want. Little comments, too, that's, like, algorithmic gold. Like, that's all I could ever ask for. So if you do that for us and them, I am giving you a virtual smooch through this podcasting platform that you're listening on. And, all of the links, all of the things, and we will be continuing our incredibly loose introducing month next week. We'll also be doing something on the Patreon. Who's to say? Not us right now, but eventually we'll be posting some sort of content there for all of you lovely patrons. And once again, shouts out Tony and Julia. Thank you so much for providing this discourse about this incredibly fucked up and interesting movie. And we love you all. Thank you for listening, and goodbye and good night.
Thanks for having us.
Bye. Yes.